Welcome back. This is episode 515 of the NYYST podcast. I am your host, Christian, and we are just 24 days away from the start of the 2026 Major League Baseball season. Yes, the long winter is almost finally over. I know when I sat down and recorded last week, I was like, hey, maybe we'll get lucky and this snowstorm will not be here. And it came, and it came a lot. And it just kept coming. Where I live in North Jersey, I think we got pretty lucky. It was still over a foot, but right on that line there, about 12, 13 inches. I know towns like literally 5, 10 minutes over from me were reporting as high as 18 to 20 inches. You know, a little 20 minutes west, we're getting 2.5 feet. So I think where I am personally, we were in a decent zone here. Not that, 13 inches is ever anything that you want to deal with, and especially when I have to go clean two houses. Okay. That was not a lot of fun, but it's mostly almost gone already, which is almost frustrating in a way, right? You spend all day Monday cleaning up, and then by Friday, you're seeing grass already. And it's just like, what did I do all that work for? I could have just let nature take its course. But yes, you need to clean up. Got to be a good neighbor. You got to get yourself back out there on Tuesday. So, yes, all the hard work that goes into it, but hopefully that is the last of it. Although, when I woke up this morning, it was snowing again, but little flurries, nothing stuck here. So, it is Sunday morning, March 1st, as we're recording here. And like I said, it's just 24 days away. The New York Yankees will be in San Francisco to start the 2026 season. Who's going to be on the mound for the Yankees? My guess would be that it would be Max Fried if everybody remains healthy here and we go into the season with the guys we think we're going to go into the season with. I would assume that Max Fried would take the ball in game one there. He is the ace of the staff right now. He was the ace of the staff last year. I don't really see anything getting in the way of Max Fried being the opening day starter for the New York Yankees. We don't really have a ton to talk about today. We're kind of in that period of spring training where, okay, we saw the games for the first time, and you know that was exciting. And there's not a ton of storyline surrounding Yankee camp right now. There are a few, and we'll talk about a couple of them as usual. But before we get into everything, please subscribe to this show on the very podcast platform that you're listening to us on right now. This is the final season of NYYST. 24 days from now, we'll officially kick off the final season here, although we've already, you know, changed the logos and everything and been announcing it for months. But yes, the final season that we are going to cover as the NYYST podcast is beginning on March 25th. It's bittersweet in a way here. We talked about it a lot. I'm sad to see this chapter end, but also kind of am realizing it's time for it to end. There's plenty of other things that are going to keep us occupied after November, one of them being the Bronx or Nowhere, which is also set to start officially in a couple weeks on NYY Underground. So make sure you are subscribed to NYY Underground on YouTube. And like I sidetracked there, okay, another hallmark of the show. Please leave us a 5-star rating and review. We love to see some love on the way out here in 2026. And you won't miss, if you're subscribed on this podcast platform, you won't miss any new episodes of NYYST that are dropping every Monday morning at 6 a.m. And also all new episodes of my limited run Rocky podcast, The Thrill of the Fight, 50 Years of Rocky. Episode 8 is already done. That'll come out on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. That covers Creed. It's hard to believe that when I started this, and now we're just 2 episodes away from finishing it. It's been a lot of fun. It's been a challenge. It's been a different challenge for me because, you know, 10 years of doing this type of podcast is a lot different than doing 10 episodes of reviewing movies, basically, especially when I'm keeping notes and trying to follow things sequentially. It was a lot different challenge than I'm used to, but it's also been a fun one, and hope everybody's checking that out as well. And please follow me on X at Christian underscore NYYST and follow me on TikTok at Christian.NYYST. So what exactly are the big storylines surrounding Yankee camp? Well, number one would, again, have to be the status of Jason Dominguez. Now, Jason Dominguez is most likely, yes, and I hate to say this because it's not where I would go. He's going to start the season in Scranton. He's going to be a rail rider, and so will Spencer Jones. There's just not enough room for both of them. I believe there's room for one of them, and it doesn't look like it's going to be either of them because earlier in the week, the Yankees signed Randall Grichuk to a minor league deal. It's most likely going to wind up with him making the team here. They brought him in to hit left-handed pitching, which he didn't do last year. He had a 703. I'm sorry. Yes, right-handed. Am I confused here? Left-handed pitching. Jesus. Did I say that right the first time? I don't even know. They brought him in here to hit left-handed pitching. They wanted another right-handed bat on for the bench, which he didn't really hit left-handed pitching last year. He had a 703 OPS against left-handed pitching last year. So you tell me what would be better for the New York Yankees, bringing in Randall Grichuk, who's a butcher in left field, and hit 703 OPS against lefties last year, or giving those at-bats to Jason Dominguez because you heard Giancarlo Stanton, and again, I love Big G. I defended him last week. I'll defend him again right here. I love Giancarlo Stanton. He's been a great New York Yankee. But the guy's talking about he's in so much pain with his elbows that he can't even open up a bag of potato chips. Not that Giancarlo Stanton looks like he's a guy who's eating a lot of potato chips anyway, but there are healthier versions of potato chips that he's probably protein snacks, Quest chips, okay? Maybe that's what he's talking about. I don't think G's sitting there down in a bag of Ruffles, but he's talking about he's in so much pain that he can't even open up a bag of chips. And we're just going to expect Giancarlo Stanton to be on the field ready to go on March 25th or in the batter's box DHing. I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's a situation that's ever really going to go away unless he has surgery on it. But he's trying to stay away from that and be available to the Yankees. He says that he wants to play a full season, be there for 162 games. Again, as much as I'm going to defend Giancarlo Stanton, I'm going to be honest about Giancarlo Stanton. I don't see it happening. I don't think anybody sees Giancarlo Stanton even being available for 150 games this year, which would be one little minor IL stint. We've come to expect certain things from Giancarlo Stanton, hitting 450 foot piss missiles and missing about 60 games of the Major League Baseball season. It's unfortunate that that's where we are, but that's what Giancarlo Stanton's career has been with the Yankees. And that's why last week when I said that what I said about Giancarlo Stanton, it's upsetting as a fan because this is a guy that gets it. This is a guy that knows what it's about to be a New York Yankee. And if anybody you wanted to see win a ring on this team and be a champion and hoisting that trophy and being a significant part of winning the 28th World Championship for the New York Yankees, it's Giancarlo Stanton. But he just has not been available to the Yankees at the amount of games that you'd like to see from a guy with his abilities. And he was really good last year. Wasn't good, so good in the postseason because, of course, we can't have everything all at once. The one year that Aaron Judge is just unworldly in the postseason, Giancarlo Stanton can't be found. I'm just asking for one year where those two guys are clicking at the same time in October. That would be a team that would be hard to beat in October. The New York Yankees with Giancarlo Stanton being our playoff god. And Aaron Judge being Aaron Judge at the same time in October. That was a dream when they traded for Giancarlo Stanton, is to have two guys that can hit 50 home runs in the lineup at the same time and having that type of power in the postseason. And it just hasn't been there for the Yankees. Judge has had his ups and downs in the postseason, and Giancarlo Stanton, you even look at postseasons like 2019 where he was hurt. Yankees could have really used him in that ALCS against the Houston Astros. So, you look at Giancarlo Stanton. I mean, if you ask me to bet, if he's going to be available on opening day, and we haven't even seen him make a spring debut yet, where they're talking about he could get into games into April. I mean, in April, on Tuesday, I would bet no right now. But again, so where does that leave the Yankees? That leaves the Yankees with an outfield of Cody Bellinger, Trent Grisham, and Aaron Judge. Who's the fourth outfielder? A veteran. Ideally, would you say a veteran like Grichik that would play maybe once a week is better than having Jason Dominguez, a guy that should be playing every day? Yeah, I mean, ideally, right? That's what you would say. But also, again, I'm going to tell you guys, I'm not committed to Trent Grisham. And I would find opportunities to play Jason Dominguez. Because if you think Jason Dominguez is bad in left field, wait till you get a load of Randall Grichik out there. That's number one. Oh, he stinks defensively. What do you think? Ken Griffey Jr. is going to be patrolling left field for the Yankees and Randall Grichik? Ain't happening. Yeah, I get it. I know that Jason Dominguez, I forget the stat that I saw exactly what ranked him this low. It was either defensive run saves or outside, but whatever it was. Fifth worst amongst all outfielders in baseball last year. So we know it ain't pretty. And you'd love to get him the reps out there. And they were talking about this on the broadcast the other day, is that as the Yankees, as a team trying to win a championship, you have to make certain decisions that if you were, say, the Pirates or the Royals or a lower market team, the Marlins, where you can, it might have been Girardi that said it too, I don't remember exactly, that you just throw them out there in left field, 600 plate appearances, learn to play the position, and we'll see you in 2027. And the Yankees don't really have the luxury of doing that, except for that we've seen them have the luxury of doing that with Anthony Volpe, right? For 3 years, they did that with Anthony Volpe, but they won't do it with Jason Dominguez. Go back to this all the time, guys. It just tells you what the Yankees think of Jason Dominguez overall as the player. And maybe as a marketing opportunity as well. Maybe the Yankees feel they can't market Jason Dominguez. And that's another reason why they won't give him the run they gave Anthony Volpe. Because as I've said a lot of times on here, a lot of the reason the Yankees keep running Volpe out there is the marketing opportunity that they want to present to you. That's not a joke. And I know people got triggered when I posted it on social media. Walk into any shop right here in North Jersey. They still haven't changed them, the ads from last year. You have three players on that giant LED board promoting buy Yankee tickets. Max Fried, Aaron Judge, and Anthony Volpe. And the ad came out after Gerrit Cole was out with Tommy John surgery. So naturally, let's look at the three of them here. Naturally, okay, you want to put a pitcher on there? Naturally, it's going to be Max Fried if Gerrit Cole is not going to pitch in 2025. He was your big ticket acquisition in the offseason. He was brought here to be the ace of the staff, had a record-breaking contract for a left-handed pitcher. Fine, he goes on the poster. Aaron Judge, it goes without saying, he goes on the poster. The third guy they chose was Anthony Volpe. That wasn't an accident, and it certainly wasn't an accident that they put Anthony Volpe front and center, that the first thing you see when you look at this poster is Anthony Volpe. Do the Yankees feel that they can't market Jason Dominguez? Maybe. And maybe that's part of the reason. And because the Yankees are a business as much as they are a baseball team. We know this. Come on. I'm not breaking any news here. I talked about this months ago. What was the real reason that Hal Steinbrenner at the 11th hour went to re-sign Aaron Judge and kept him from going to San Francisco or San Diego? Was it to win the 28th World Championship? No, because he didn't want his cash cow to leave. He knew that he had to match a certain number to get Aaron Judge to come back, and he did. Because he could not afford to let Aaron Judge walk out the door. Not because he couldn't afford to let him walk out the door because he knew the team would be worse. Because he knew he couldn't afford to let him walk out the door because he had nobody to market. He had no face of his franchise. The guy just hit 62 home runs, broke a 60-year-old record, won an MVP, had been the face of the Yankees for the last 5 years. Couldn't let him walk out the door. Whose jersey was he going to sell? That's why Hal Steinbrenner did it. So, yeah, as much as the Yankees are a baseball team, they're a business. And that's not wrong. I know people get triggered when you bring that part up about the Yankees being a business. Maybe you could find two, three owners out there that would operate at a loss, lose money if they had enough of it, because they had the passion to win. The rest of them are out there to make money. Do you own something for it to depreciate in value? Do you own something? Unless it's a car. We all know cars depreciate in value. But I'm saying, do you make an investment in something that you want, that should be making money, just so it can lose money? No, that's what owning a professional sports franchise is. So, yes, they think they can market Anthony Volpe, and that's why Anthony Volpe gets the run that he gets. Jason Dominguez, maybe not. Also, you know, maybe they think that Anthony Volpe is a better player than Dominguez. I don't know. It certainly seems that they do. And yes, the outfield options are more plentiful. We've talked about that than they were at shortstop. But could add Corey Seager. We never would have had to go through the drama and the heartache we went through with Juan Soto and Cody Bellinger. Because add that into the mix. Maybe the Yankees don't trade for Cody Bellinger. Maybe after they lose Juan Soto, if they had Corey Seager, because they probably don't trade for Juan Soto. They probably don't think they need a big left-handed bat if they have Corey Seager. Keep going down the line here. And there's your opportunity for Jason Dominguez to play every day. And then maybe Anthony Volpe is the guy that's looking in. I still think that there's opportunity there, opportunity for Jason Dominguez to play every day. Not every day, 3-4 days out of the week. I think him seeing major league pitching and getting acclimated to playing left field at Yankee Stadium is still at that rate, at 450 bats, compared to what he'll get playing every day in Scranton, is much more advantageous for his growth as a player than being in Scranton. That's my opinion. Again, I'm not committed to Trent Grisham in center field. I would still try to give him a blow every once in a while, once or twice a week, to keep him, to maybe keep that bat a little fresher during the back end of the season here. And what are we already hearing about Cody Bellinger? He hasn't made it. He did make his spring debut the other day, I believe, but now he's going to be out for a couple of days. He's got a back issue similar to the one that gave him that slow start in April last year. It's creeping up again. So who would you rather have on the bench there to give Cody Bellinger a little breathing room to get himself through this again in April till he starts feeling himself again? Jason Dominguez or Randall Grichuk? When I saw that in the morning, because I think it broke at like 11:30 at night that Jack Curry reported. When I saw that, I said to myself, this is the definitive proof, final nail in the coffin, that Jason Dominguez is starting the season in AAA. The writing was on the wall when they had a contract on the table for Austin Slater. It's like, if Austin Slater's coming here, where's Jason Dominguez playing? Well, Austin Slater went to the Tigers. They didn't stop the Yankees from going out there and trying to get a right-handed bat to play in the outfield. They got him. Now, it's not a major league deal, but again, I mean, who really at this point doesn't expect Grichuk to break camp with the major league club? And certainly, I wouldn't say, oh, he's getting to camp late here, 3 weeks to go into the season. Maybe they'll just put him in Scranton for a couple of weeks, leave Dominguez up here, and then when Grichuk's ready, make the swap. What would be the point in that? You're going to bring the kid up to bring him back down? If you're looking at scenarios, I'd rather him just start the season in AAA and call him up when you're going to leave him up there. I mean, it needs to be studied, man. I mean, we're talking a lot about Jason Dominguez in the offseason here because there's just not a ton to talk about, and he is one of the bigger storylines here right now. But it needs to be looked at about how this guy was handled. You know, Joel Sherman was talking about it on his podcast about, you know, he thinks he'll probably be around the league average hitter, be a 2020 guy, and, you know, you hope that he plays close to average defense in left field. What? What was the name that we heard when we first started hearing about Jason Dominguez? And not the nickname, the Martian, which, as Sherman talked about on his podcast, meant that he had otherworldly talent. And now we're going to settle for 2020 and a league average hitter and below league average defender at 23 years old? Compton, I heard comps to this is the next generation. This is Mickey Mantle. This is going to be this generation's Mickey Mantle. One of the greatest of all time because of what he could do as a switch hitter and is and defensively out there in the outfield. Now we're afraid to play him in left field. We're afraid to bat him right-handed. And we're having the YPM is having our expectations lowered to where he'll be a hopefully league average hitter. Yeah, I get it that it's on the player to meet those expectations, but I'm also at a point right now where I believe dick about what the Yankees say about any of their prospects. I don't believe a friggin' word about it. Come up here and prove it. Because if you look at the history of Yankee prospects over the last, I don't know, 10 years here, we'll say, since Brian Cashman. I always look at the 2016 trade deadline as a line of demarcation in the Yankee franchise here. When Hal basically washed his hands of like running things day to day, like George would do, and fully turned it over to his general manager and let Brian Cashman run this organization in the light that he wanted it to be ran in. And Hal was just the checkbook. He was just the ATM for what Brian Cashman wanted to do. So I look at the trade deadline there as a line of demarcation. Hey, we're not very good. Let's sell here. Let's retool. Let's get this next crop of young prospects up here for the next championship window. The Kraken, Gary Sanchez, what happened to him? Highly touted. Still making a career for himself. Good for him. Never met the highs of 2016 and 2017. Look at Luis Severino. Okay. He had some ace-like years, but battled injuries, still making a career for himself. But again, didn't happen here. Didn't happen long for a long time period here. Like over a long stretch here where he was the ace. What do you think the Yankees are running out getting Gerrit Cole for? Running out getting Max Fried for guys like that. Carlos Rodon. Because Seve couldn't live up to those expectations. I mean, let's take a look at I know Miguel Andujar maybe not highly touted as some of these other guys, but another guy came up here had a great year, got hurt, and that was the end of it. You hear Spencer Jones, oh, the left-handed Aaron Judge. People are joking, calling him Spencer Ohtani because he changed his stance to look a little bit more like Ohtani. Guy's going to be 25 years old. I don't know what to do with him. Power, defense, they're afraid he's going to strike out at a 40-plus percent clip up here. George Lombard. Oh, we love George Lombard. I can tell on social media the people that just read press clippings and the people that actually pay attention. Call him up. He's better than Volpe. Bullshit that he is. Let's talk about George Lombard here for a second. Do I want Anthony Volpe up here right now, ready to just take the job over? No, because he hasn't proved it. And yes, I know I said last week that I'm rooting for him. Of course I'm rooting for him. Why wouldn't I? If he's on the Yankees and he's going to play, I'm going to root for him. That's just ridiculous to say otherwise. Oh, I want a guy to play for the Yankees to fail. Well, you're dumb. But he's better than Volpe? What tells you that exactly? Because the Yankees selectively show you clips of him looking like Ozzie Smith out there at shortstop? Well, yeah, nobody's denying that this kid is a wizard out there at shortstop. And the Yankees are moving him around here. to maybe try to find a home for him in other places like third base, second base. See, maybe that could work. He didn't even crack a 700 OPS in double A last year. I got to see that before I'm ready to hand anything over to George Lombard at the major league level. Are you serious? He's better than Volpe? What has shown you that? And even if you don't want Volpe here, why do you want to go through this again with George Lombard? Because I guarantee you, you'll be screaming and bitching the same way about Lombard that you are about Volpe when the Yankees run him out there every day and he can't crack a 690 OPS. Same thing's going to happen. Because now you've seen it twice. And I'm not saying that's what's going to happen with Lombard. But let's see him conquer the minor leagues first, please. Let's talk about Oswald Peraza. Gone for nothing. Clint Frazier, gone for nothing. Red Thunder, right? What I can't that quote about his bat speed, I can't think of it off the top of my head that Brian Cashman had when they traded for him. Nothing, absolutely nothing happened with him here. Highly touted, the centerpiece of that trade for Andrew Miller, nothing. Oswald Peraza, people actually thought it was a legitimate competition between Peraza and Volpe. Nothing. The guy came up here, he flashed a little bit in 2022, and then proved he could not hit major league pitching at all. Like, at all. Look at the guys that have come up here, though, and have made things of themselves. Aaron Judge. Was Aaron Judge ever supposed to be this? No, never. Nobody thought Aaron Judge. I remember reading scouting reports about Aaron Judge. What was the scouting report that I read about Aaron Judge? Paraphrasing here. Good power. Could maybe have a couple all-star seasons. Average major league outfield career. Okay. Which is fine. Guy coming up through your system, borderline all-star, has an average outfield career with good power. Most teams will sign up for stuff like that because not as we've seen here, not everything pans out even as that good. Nobody ever expected him to be the best hitter on the friggin' planet. Nobody ever expected him to be a three-time MVP. That says a lot more about Aaron Judge's will and determination and work ethic than it ever does about the Yankees minor league system and their ability to develop players. Look at Ben Rice. Ben Rice was not supposed to be a 35 home run guy. The guy that people fans are expecting to be a 35 home run guy is a guy that they brought about a necessity that started raking in the minor leagues. He's not highly touted, like, top of the farm system type guy. Same thing with Cam Schlittler. Cam Schlittler blew up out of nowhere last year. You didn't really hear a lot about Cam Schlittler coming through the system, like we hear about Rodriguez and Legrand. So any of the players that actually succeed here that come up through the Yankee system, I put that more on how much they want it than how much the Yankees actually know what they're doing in developing players. Look at Gleyber Torres. He's had a fairly, so we'll say, to be fair, a solid major league career. This guy was the number one prospect in baseball at one point. Never came close to that without juice baseballs. What does that tell you? I guess if you we're looking at it through the Yankee lens here, right? And what has failed and worked here. And maybe there are a laundry list, and there probably is of guys in every organization. But I'm telling you right now, through all my experiences, especially in the last 10 years covering this team on this podcast, I don't believe a fucking word that they have to say about any of their prospects. I don't believe it. Come up here and show me. I don't care if George Lombard hits 900 this year. They can't get him out. Until he comes up here and proves that he can hit major league pitching, it means nothing to me. So we look at the rest of spring here. Guys are starting to depart for the WBC. I'm excited for that to start. A little disappointing here about what happened with Tarek Skubal, that he is only going to pitch one game in pool play and then remove himself from the roster. I mean, a lot of what you were excited about as a Team USA fan was that they had the two best pitchers in baseball on the staff. And look, let's talk about this briefly here. Do I understand where he's coming from? Yeah, this guy's about to get paid with two D's at the end, paid as the best pitcher in baseball, and this being his walk year, coming off consecutive Cy Young awards, and he's got Boris's client, so you know. We'll add an extra D. This dude is going to get paid. Does he want to risk anything in an exhibition, essentially? No, and I get that. Don't sign up then. Is that, I mean, this is one of those situations where you can't have your cake and eat it too. If you're only willing to pitch in pool play and not even be there in the elimination games or a potential championship game, stay home. Is that so wrong to say? I know people got mad when others were saying, echoing that same sentiment on social media. But if you're only willing to pitch one game in pool play, just stay home. Oh, why don't you come? Well, I got to focus in on the Tiger season. And even if you mentioned MONEY, people are going to be like, this dude is going to make bank. So yeah, we get it. It's not like Paul Skenes, who's a few years away from free agency, or guys that are in the middle of long-term contracts. I get it, man. Like, no one's gonna look. I mean, honestly, I never fault guys for wanting to make money. I don't like sometimes when they talk about it entering their walk years, especially when your team needs to win a championship when they haven't won since 2009. Jazz Chisholm. Then we find out today that Joe Ryan is removing himself. He may be eligible late in later rounds. Due to a back issue, which and then Ryan Yarbrough is replacing him. We love Ryan Yarbrough, right? But it's a big drop from Joe Ryan to Ryan Yarbrough. I'm still excited for the WBC. I think that Team America, okay, has a legit shot to get to the semifinals. It's just that now the pitching, which you thought was one of their strong suits, is not as strong. So we'll see what happens. I mean, if they don't get out of pool play, I don't know what to tell you. I think they will. They should. I mean, come on. Let's be realistic about that one. And the other thing, the last thing I want to talk about here is one Carsten Charles Sabathia. The Yankees announced this week that CC Sabathia will taking excuse me. Actually brought water with me this time. And my throat is like extra dry. It's like you try to hydrate, and so you're like extra dry for some reason. The Yankees announced this week that CC Sabathia will have a permanent home in Monument Park. The Yankees announced that CC Sabathia's number 52 will be retired before a game in a pregame ceremony on September 26th. And it got people feeling a lot of different things. And for me, the first thing I felt was happiness for CC Sabathia. I love CC Sabathia. CC Sabathia is a Hall of Famer. He's a world champion. If you're going to put somebody in the Monument Park, that's the criteria that he should meet. Did he win a championship with the Yankees? Did he go to the Hall of Fame? And is he wearing a Yankee cap in the Hall of Fame? Yes, and yes, Monument Park. No problem with it whatsoever. CC Sabathia was the ultimate gamer. He took the ball whenever you needed to. And you want to talk about guys that didn't give a damn about what they were going to make in the offseason? Just go look at how he carried the Milwaukee Brewers to the postseason after being a trade deadline acquisition in 2008, knowing that he was entering free agency. I have the utmost respect for CC Sabathia. There's few guys that have ever donned a Yankee uniform that I have more respect for than I do CC Sabathia. We all remember how he protected Austin Romine. That's for you, bitch. When he had that $500,000 bonus on the line, didn't care, wanted to protect his teammate. Yankees still paid him, which was a great move on their part. I have no issues with CC Sabathia having his number 52 retired. None whatsoever. That's the guy that belongs there. That's the guy that deserves to be celebrated. He literally pitched until his arm fell off. He went until he couldn't go anymore. We all remember him walking off the mound in that ALCS, that his arm was literally hanging by a thread when he walked off that mound. Ultimate gamer. Guy deserves to be honored in that way. It brings us to a larger point, though, about the New York Yankees in Monument Park. Is it oversaturated? Yes, you can go through it and look at guys that don't belong there. But again, the Yankees are a business. And especially nowadays, when they're not in the business of winning championships, they need to make special accommodations for guys that did to get your ass in that ballpark and spend extra money. And create days that maybe they wouldn't be creating if they were winning championships. But this is not a knock on CC Sabathia, who belongs in Monument Park. I mean, I look at a guy like Reggie Jackson, Mr. October, the 3 home runs, 2-time world champion. I hate the fact that he's in Monument Park. And I know that that was George. That was a George move. George loved Reggie. He played 5 years here. 5 years. CC was here for a decade. If Mike Mussina had won a World Series here, would he be in Monument Park? Similarly, I mean, similar type careers. Both Hall of Famers. Moose was here for about 7 years, I want to say. So CC here a little bit longer. But if Moose got that world title, if he had stuck around an extra year and was a part of that 09 team, is he in Monument Park? Again, not knocking CC Sabathia, but that brings up the question. And then how would you look at Mike Mussina in Monument Park? I don't know. It's a museum. It's a tourist attraction. That's what it is. And again, like, I'm not going to get that worked up over it. But, you know, I look at certain guys that, you know, who should be in there that's not in there. Oh, people are like, Alex Rodriguez should be in there. It's never going to happen. That fence is not ever going to be mended to the point where he's going to get an induction in there, especially when he can't even get into the Hall of Fame because of the steroid cloud hanging over his head. Guy 100% belongs in the Hall of Fame. I don't care if he shot himself up with more steroids than every WWF wrestler in the 1980s combined. Alex Rodriguez belongs in the Hall of Fame. He's one of the greatest players I have ever witnessed play baseball, and it wasn't because of steroids. That's another argument. That's another topic for another day. You know, and I go, oh, he was suspended. People come on this high moral ground. It's because the commissioner had it out for Alex Rodriguez and wanted to use him as an example. We all know this. Go watch the A-Rod documentary that's on HBO Max. It was great. I talked about this when I was done watching it on here. Highly recommend it to not only Yankee fans, A-Rod fans, but baseball fans as well. And yeah, you know, as it maybe not as damning on A-Rod as it could have been, probably, but you certainly see the evidence is there that Bud Selig was not the biggest fan of Alex Rodriguez. We all know that. So again, like, that was kind of one of the big things that came out. The Yankees announced it during one of the games during this week, either Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever day it was. And, you know, that was a debate. Does CC belong? Yeah, I mean, he does. CC belongs out there. 52 deserves a plaque, a monument, or whatever it is that they're going to do. I know there's the retired number. I know only a handful of guys have an actual monument out there. It's Monument Park, so people refer to it as a monument. But to have a day to have his number retired. And it was cool. It's on 9/26/26, 26 plus 26 equaling 52. So it was cool that they did it then. And it's a night game against the Orioles, which they usually don't do night games. I wonder if it's going to stay at that time, because that would be pretty cool. That you had, instead of like having to get there at the ass crack at dawn, 10 o'clock, but, you know, and it being super hot, you know, it might be like a nice chill day, hang out, get in the ballpark about 4 or 5 o'clock, see the ceremony. Watch a game, which the Yankees are probably going to be in a dogfight either for the division or a playoff spot on September 26th. So to see them play a division rival, it's going to be a big game. And that's what CeCe Sabathia was about. CeCe Sabathia was about big games and showing up in the moment. They brought him here to be the ace. They brought him here to win a world championship, and he did. Should that team have won more? And that's another conversation that people have when they talk about the 2009 Yankees. Should that team have won more? Yeah, it probably should have been another one. But they got one. Aaron Boone has zero. One is a lot bigger number than zero is. So that's what 2026 is all about. Getting that zero off of Aaron Boone's back. Can run it back 26 really work? Can run it back 26 lead to number 28? That is what we are all asking. And in 24 days, the answers will start to come. Whether or not run it back 26 can actually lead the New York Yankees to this elusive 28th World Championship. And hopefully, I've led you to subscribe to this show on your favorite podcast platform, the one that you're listening to us on right now. Please subscribe. Show us some love on the way out here. This is the final season of NYYST. Leave us a 5-star rating and review. Don't forget that not only new episodes of NYYST Monday mornings, but my limited run Rocky podcast, The Thrill of the Fight, Wednesday evenings. After this Wednesday, only 2 episodes remain. So please check that out. Subscribe to NYY Underground on YouTube, as well as The Bronx or Nowhere will be starting shortly. And follow me, please, okay, on X at Christian_NYYST and on TikTok at Christian.NYYST. If you were out shoveling, hopefully you told your neighbors that we are the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. I have something very, very special planned in 2 weeks. Longtime listeners of the NYYST podcast that have been with us from day one. This is the final one. That's the teaser. I don't know exactly when it started and where the germ of the idea came from and how it became a yearly thing with a name. I'm going to lead you down that road without saying it completely. But in 2 weeks, I'm planning the final one ever. So please be subscribed to the show so you don't miss it. Thank you so much, guys, for your continued support. I love you so much. Thank you for listening to episode 515, and I'll see you next time.